Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Harvest Prude, on the healthy use of dating apps.
People really relied on their networks, whether that was meeting people through family, parents, friends, work. Increasingly, education, college is a huge way people meet. But outside of that, now that there's these websites and apps, a lot of those informal networks are no longer working the way they used to.
Harvest Prude, next. Christianity Today journalist Harvest Prude writes, "For those wanting to meet a life partner, surprisingly few do so at church. It comes as no surprise, dating apps are the avenue of choice for many." With that in mind, Spencer Dahlke is with Harvest Prude to discuss her piece, "What Algorithms Have Brought Together. Christian singles aren't going to church to find life partners. They're swiping on the apps."
What drew your attention to this piece?
Yeah, so really it was a couple statistics that I saw that showed only 3% of people are meeting via religious institutions these days. So in terms of like romantic pairings, getting married, only 3% of people are meeting at churches or I guess synagogues or just religious spaces. And that squared with just anecdotes I had heard from, younger generation Christians who they'd say, yeah, like my parents will give me dating advice and they'll say, oh, meet someone at church. And they're like, yeah, no one's asking me out at church. I'm not having these experiences. And so seeing that those surveys, those statistics was sort of clarifying of like, oh, this is an actual problem that's happening. This is not just a few people's experiences. Society really has changed how people meet, and that has started to affect Christians as well.
I noticed you'd mentioned like all of the different places where people have found people, like you mentioned church, work, school, these sorts of places. People are increasingly less finding people there. I was curious why you think that is.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with how the internet and online spaces, dating apps, dating websites have really started to dominate the facilitation of romantic meetings and pairings now. It used to be that there was no other option other than really like meeting people in person. I mean, maybe like a really old version of finding someone in another way would be those ads people used to put in newspapers, like looking for a wife to go west with me, you know, but that's something that we think of as an anomaly. And so people really relied on their networks, whether that was meeting people through family, parents, friends, work, increasingly education, college is a huge way people meet. But outside of that, now that there's these websites and apps, a lot of those informal networks are no longer working the way they used to. And so whether that's because of a larger breakdown in how our society views getting involved with each other's lives, or just having sort of that in the back of our mind that, oh, well, there's this other option. It's the internet. That's where people meet. That I think that has really had a big impact on how people pair up these days.
Maybe it's a chicken and the egg sort of a thing. It seemed like in your answer just then that maybe you think the algorithms come first and then our relationships suffer. You think there's something to be said about relationships suffering and then algorithms and dating apps being a fix to this perceived problem?
You know, when I was interviewing Christians about this, there were a wide variety of perspectives on this because I was able to talk with some people who actually did meet in church spaces, and they were kind of like, yeah, we feel like we really got lucky because we're not seeing this as much in our other friends. And then I also spoke with couples who are happily married, who are expecting their first child, who met on Hinge, which is a dating app. I think what I heard was that the process has become much more of a negative experience when you're having to use the app. People sort of described it almost being like another job or like a chore because you had to think about how you're going to present yourself and what prompts are going to be the most accurate to who you are and trying to find a serious, like committed Christian as well. And then sometimes the different algorithms seem to punish certain profiles if they don't get a ton of attention. So the profiles that get the most attention get the most interaction, they get the most likes and matches. And so if you're someone who's looking for something very specific, say someone who shares your denominational background, your profile may not get as much interaction. And so you may not be seen by enough people. So you may just feel like, I'm putting myself out here, I'm trying to do something, and it's not really paying off. So I don't know if, you know, finding partners is more suffering these days in our modern times than they were in our parents' generation. I'm sure like the search for romantic connection has always been fraught, but there definitely is these new wrinkles that people have to grapple with, that a lot of singles that I spoke with, or even happily married couples, spoke of as very frustrating.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about how these algorithms work?
The algorithms are kind of mysterious, right? It's almost like a black box. So we don't know exactly how they work. It's more that the way other people on the app interact with your profile affects how your profile is viewed. So let's say, yeah, you are a religious minority and you're in a very like secular area or an area where you're a mismatch, you're just not going to get as much play. And that causes the algorithm to think, okay, there's something about this profile that's not popular, so let me not show it to as many people. But yeah, there's not a lot of details about exactly how they work, but they use this process called collaborative filtering, where they track not only how you interact in the app, but also how other people interact in the app. So it's almost like this group rating system in a way. And that can just make things challenging if, again, you're kind of looking for just someone specific.
I'm curious what your experiences have been in the dating world.
Dating as a Christian, like, I have tried a number of avenues. So I've been on dating apps. I've also met people in person. And I will say, just similar to some of the folks I've interviewed, church has been one of the least common ways that I've met or dated people. I was speaking to another young Christian woman for this piece. Her story ultimately didn't make it into the final draft, but, you know, I was asking her like what her experiences had been. And she was saying she felt like people were afraid to approach people in church because if they did and it didn't work out, then there would be awkwardness, or they felt like they would get like a reputation, or just there were all of these perceived social negatives to approaching someone in church, which is not always what you think, right? I think our older generations kind of think, oh, well, if you're in church with someone, you're going to be aligned on things. That's like the best place to meet someone to have a relationship with. But it could just be like our generation being more risk averse as well. But that's kind of been one of the experiences that I've come across.
I don't know if you've joked this way, but I've certainly joked this way with friends and stuff, that we're just kind of like scared of each other. Do you think that's true? Or maybe you think we just don't like the feeling of not being in control?
I think a lot of people do default to the easiest option. And even though, like we've talked about, algorithms and dating apps are fraught with new complications, they do feel less risk averse for some people who maybe are afraid to approach their peers in public because they're so afraid of rejection. It just seems safer maybe to swipe from home. And I think the only way to maybe get out of that is to try something new, try deleting the apps. I deleted the apps because I was sick of them and it didn't feel like I was getting the results or meeting the people that I wanted to connect with. But there actually is I interviewed a man for the piece. He has an organization called Communio, and he's convinced that the church needs to be more active in facilitating singles ministries. He found that only 7% of churches in the U.S. have any kind of specifically singles ministry, and he views it as like a huge gap. So his view is that until like older Christians who maybe already are married or have a passion for, you know, younger people who are in this situation of like wanting partnership but not finding it, should get involved in organized events, organized matchmaking events, organized just outings, just to facilitate these kinds of connections.
Speculating again, I guess. I'm trying to parse out how we get to this place, you know, where we turn to dating apps. And do you think that part of that can be blamed on a hands-off church?
I think it's one of many factors. I do think, let's say you go to a church and they're like, hey, Friday nights, singles ministry, all of the young people in the church are going to go bowling and then they're going to have a Bible study at someone's house. Like, that's how my parents met, was through these regular Friday night events at their church. So if you have options like that in your mind, maybe you're less likely to turn to the apps. But I think the big reason people get on the apps is because there's a perception, and it's often true, that that's where everyone is. And so if you want to date and people aren't approaching you in person because they feel like they have these other options, then there's almost this pressure of like, I'm missing out. I'm not meeting people because I'm abstaining from the apps.
I've heard it said by people looking at, you know, the relationships culture in America that maybe the church does not value singles as much as they do married people. Like singles is almost like a sign of like immaturity. So there's maybe a discomfort, I guess, paired with maybe an American individualistic is like, go be fruitful, go find someone, you know?
Yeah, I actually spoke with a woman, her name was Jessica, and she was married, but she was at a church conference and they were having a moment of prayer and reflection of like, who could you serve right now that you're not serving and who's on your heart? And she just had this moment of realizing like all of her single friends were on her heart. And so she actually started a little ad hoc matchmaking thing where she would organize these singles mixers and invite all of her friends, other people she didn't even know. And she said the reason she had never thought to do something like that before, or the reason she thinks that people in the church in general don't do those kinds of events more often, is because there is a concern that they'll offend the person who's single. Like if they're like, hey, do you want to be set up? There is almost an implication of something's wrong with you the way you are, and you need to be partnered to fix it. So I think they're dealing with this whole question of how Christians are meeting and dating. It brings up the issue of maybe some people don't want to date. Maybe some people are content as they are single. But I think churches err on the side of assuming people don't want interventions when they actually might want, you know, someone to ask like, hey, like, are you open to being set up? No worries if not, but like, I know someone for you, or I know this really nice person who I think might be your type, those kinds of things. So I do think there is a hesitancy to offend. And just the fact that like married couples do make up a lot of the regular churchgoers. And so there's just a lot more programming geared towards families, marriage ministries, all of that. And yeah, I think singles have kind of fallen through the cracks because churches assume that dating apps are kind of filling the gap.
Curious if you'd cast a value judgment for us. You know, looking into dating apps and algorithms, what do you think about using them for matching people together?
I don't think that this is a situation where there's a clear conscience, right or wrong. I think it's very individual to the person's circumstances. So I spoke with one couple who the husband had used dating apps, but he found they started to create in him a kind of like Amazon mentality where he was almost viewing profiles as like, does this check all my boxes? Let me try and find the perfect person that I can almost like order and get shipped to me. And so he found that he really hated the mindset that dating apps created in him in terms of almost objectifying people. And so he stopped using them. For other people, though, I think, let's say you're in an area where you're having a hard time meeting young people. Let's say no one at your church is below 40 or whatever your age group is, and you're not meeting Christians and you want a way to meet Christians. You know, there are Christian-specific dating apps, or you can put in your profiles like your faith and kind of make it clear that that's an important thing to you. So I really think it has to do with what is the effect on you when you use them? Does it create a mindset of not viewing people as like children of God that's bad? Or is it allowing you to be proactive in an area where maybe you've been passive or discouraged? I don't think there's a clear right and wrong. I think people just need to approach it with individual discernment and maybe some wise counsel. For me, I found that they just didn't seem to give me the results that I wanted, but I did give them a try like multiple times before I came to that conclusion. And I don't regret that either. So I think it's one of those things where it'll probably vary.
Well, my guest today is Harvest Prude. She's a national political correspondent for Christianity Today and the author of What Algorithms Brought Together, talking about dating apps and using them to find relationships and potential spouses in the life of a Christian. Turning a little bit more to like exploring human flourishing, have you read much Wendell Berry?
I'm familiar with Wendell Berry. He was really big on my political theory classes in college, but I don't know that I've read like a full book, but I've read segments, yes.
Mm-hmm. For, I guess, our listeners who may not be familiar with him, he was very skeptical of technology and industry in America. And I'm curious what you think about outsourcing our humanity to machines. seems to be kind of the trend we're going, especially with AI and algorithms even here. Do you think we're losing something as human beings if we are avoiding hard, shall we say, character-forming experiences like finding a partner?
Yeah, I really think that everyone should have the muscle of knowing how to talk and interact and like walk up to someone and start up those conversations, even when there is maybe that fear or that hesitancy due to fear of rejection. And so I think if relying on a dating app is causing that muscle to, you know, atrophy, and you're finding you are unable to approach people in person at all, then that is absolutely a loss. At the same time, I do think people's circumstances vary so widely, and technology can be a gift, but it can also be one that sours. Yeah, that's just one of the mysteries of human nature, is that the same tool that can be used to strike your brother over the head, like I'm thinking of Cain and Abel, can also be used to build the foundation of a house, like a rock, right? Like you can use the same tool for good and evil. And so I do think, like, Jonathan Haidt had a book, he's a journalist, he had a book talking about the clear negative impacts of technology use of children and just how much it can kind of mess with their brains and their development. And I think, you know, as adults, we shouldn't assume that we're immune from those negative effects either, and just be very aware of how much of our lives we are like living through screens. But at the same time, I guess I'm not really someone who's used to giving prescriptions, right? Like, I'm a journalist. My job is to ask questions and to hear different perspectives. And so I'm cautious of giving like a hardcore "and technology is evil" conclusion, because I use it myself. We're speaking through technology right now. So I think it's one of those things that just really varies based on what it's being used for.
It's a charitable response, and it's hard to I'm skeptical of technology myself, but I even realize it's really hard to get away from it. Life is complicated is the short of it, I suppose.
Yes. And it's frustrating too, when so many more devices that used to just operate mechanically are now smart devices. Like, why is your washing machine talking so much now? Like, we don't need that, you know? So I do think technology is overcomplicating things that don't need to be complicated, but that's a whole nother topic.
I thought it was funny. I mean, going back even earlier, you mentioned churches that have like matchmaking events and these sorts of things. And you mentioned then, and you report in your article, that Christians maybe hesitate to matchmake when they think it's going to be offensive. And yet at the same time, it seems like a lot of Christians are turning to computer algorithms to do exactly the same thing. Do you think there's maybe a spirit of intrusiveness that the church should adopt to build better relationships with, you know, the congregants?
This is one of the ways that the church does have a really unique opportunity, because the church does gather all these different demographics into one building, sometimes one small group. And there's this opportunity for, you know, conversations to happen from older generations to younger generations, from married to single. And I think people are so used to wanting to mingle with people who are in their stage of life that it's almost rare to have those like strong friendships where someone's married and someone's single, unless you were both once single and then someone gets married. That I think it's often like married people who maybe, you know, met in college or met when they were young, they don't always understand what the dating scene is like. They just assume, oh, well, they have the app so they can meet people if they want. Like, they assume it's easy, or they assume like it's straightforward. But what I was hearing from singles was that, no, it was really frustrating, and they would like welcome interventions. And so I think it's one of those things where just using the opportunity for cross-demographic conversations is like, church is perfect for that. Like, small groups are perfect for that. And when someone brings up something like, yeah, I'm really frustrated with dating right now, instead of just assuming like, oh, I don't really have anything to say about that because I got married like in college, maybe asking questions of like, oh, well, what are you looking for? Like, would you want to be set up? Like, I have a cousin, you know, those kinds of things, I think are more welcome than people assume. Depending, again, it depends on like who the person is. So like that's where kind of adopting that journalism mindset and like asking questions helps.
Just then you mentioned you have to kind of know who the person is. And that kind of makes sense because, you know, you don't want to accidentally match two people together that are really polar opposites and just wouldn't work together, that kind of thing. So do you think maybe the failure to build good friendships and actually learn about people and invest time in people kind of contributes to this then?
You know, I actually want to challenge the assumption that we know who would be good together. Because I think this is maybe something that prevents people from matchmaking because they'll think, oh, I have this super like bubbly extroverted friend. And then I have this more like quieter, demure friend. They would never like work out because they're opposites. But what I found is sometimes pairings you just would not expect end up hitting it off really well. So I would actually encourage married friends to do less trying to figure it out themselves on paper beforehand and do more throwing people together, taking the pressure off the back end. So if you do like maybe hosting your single friends for dinner, like a mix of people, and maybe doing some recon afterwards of like, oh, what did you think of so-and-so? What did you think of so-and-so? Or like, oh, you should ask them out. They're really nice, but not putting pressure of like, so how did it go? Like not putting too much pressure on the situation in case it doesn't work out, in case they don't end up being a match. But yeah, just because thinking in my own life, like some of my friends who have ended up with people were not the people I would have picked out for them, be just because of knowing their traits and qualities on paper, but are actually like perfect together. So I don't actually think the problem is that people don't have enough friends. I think people have really good, solid networks. They're just hesitant to suggest like romantic pairings out of those networks, which I find very interesting.
I did also want to ask about how the gospel has shaped your understanding of dating relationships and how to approach it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing that I try and keep in mind as a Christian who is navigating the dating space and just speaking with other Christians for this article as well is you should always keep in mind that they are image bearers of God and how you treat them. Like people are not disposable, even if you're not a match, even if it doesn't work out. You know, you should treat people with kindness and dignity and just an understanding of how precious they are to the Lord as well. And so I think that's something that dating apps can have a negative impact on if you're just viewing people as pictures on a screen to swipe away. Not saying that that automatically is the mindset, but that can be one of the temptations. And so just like resisting that, I think is really huge. And just thinking like, this is someone's future partner, even if they're not mine. So let me treat them as I would want to be treated as well.
It seems like we live in a culture where it's, you know, the principle of least resistance, like you mentioned a little earlier, we tend to do what's just easiest. As human beings, we still have experiences that are formed away from technology that contribute and help round us out as human beings. I'm curious if you have any advice on how we can train ourselves to lean into our humanity as a solution for our ailing relationships, you know, finding better relationships.
I really hesitate to give relationship advice because I don't know that I'm like an expert or anything. But I would say in terms of meeting people, I know everyone gives this advice, but finding places where you really thrive and that bring joy to you, that's going to facilitate making connections in a way that feels like easier and more fun and is less fraught because you don't feel like you're in an uncomfortable situation. So whether that's like, let's say you're passionate about a certain area of ministry, so you're volunteering there and you're like meeting other volunteers, or if there's like a hobby that you have. And again, this does depend, I guess, on where you live as well, like what kind of options you have together. But I would say whether it's like a sport, like I do softball, like I'm on a softball league, or just different, you know, extracurricular activities, so to speak. Like that's not just for school children. Like you should have those things. Just building up that muscle of like making friends with people, approaching people, being receptive when people talk to you, I think just helps with, yeah, exercising that muscle that can atrophy when we're just used to being behind a screen.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Christianity Today journalist Harvest Prude. We've been discussing her piece, What Algorithms Have Brought Together. Christian singles aren't going to church to find life partners. They're swiping on the apps. You can read it by going to ChristianityToday.com. Tomorrow on His People, it's Jackson Turkhurst on his story of war, adoption, and finding your purpose in God's plan.
I became an orphan, and I spent the rest of my life, my early years, hiding from rebels, hiding from bullets, and starvation, and hunger, and so much more, and abandonment. So, and then I end up in an orphanage where I spent a lot of years there, and then God made it possible for me to be adopted into a loving family here in the States. And my story has been written ever since.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.